Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. This is Valencia Scott from Turning Leaf Ministries. And the title of my show is called The Ties That Bind. And I have a special guest on my show, Bianca Steyer. She's going to do part two about what is love. She's a very powerful woman of God. She's been on here a few times. She also has been on my revival. And before we end, I'm going to get her to announce her radio show because she has a radio show as well. And I'm finna go ahead and do some prayer. Then we're going to go forth with the word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as humble as we know how. Father God, we repent of anything we've done today that's not like you in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you touch this woman of God from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Father God. Everything that she pour out for, Father God, restore it, Father God. Give us strength, Father God. And I pray that this word encourage others. In your son, Jesus' name, amen. Everyone, Bianca Steyer.
Hello, everyone. First, I want to say, God is good all the time, and I hope everyone listens doing well. And if you're not doing well and having problems, Psalm 50, chapter 15, verse says, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God said, call upon him in a day of trouble, and he will deliver you. God doesn't want us to lean into our own plans to accomplish something or our own insight. He wants us to trust his wisdom, his insight into accomplishing things in our life. Jesus is the perfect wisdom of God, and he is the answer to all of your problems. The Bible has an answer to every problem you might encounter, even if that answer is just to be still and wait on me, God says. Nothing further for you to do. No further instructions, but wait on me to give you the answer. Dependency on man can bring failure. Dependency on God, you will always win. So let's be blessed today and hear these encouraging words from God's Word. What I'll be the part of What is Love. This is What is Love Part 2. So we're going to continue on with point number 4 from a couple of weeks ago, Thanksgiving and praise. I know that Thanksgiving and praise can do a few things. One is the devil does not like it when we give praises and thanksgiving to God. It can cause the devil to flee. You want to get rid of the devil? Start thanking and praising God all the time, and it will make Satan and his demons flee. Besides, he doesn't like God, so why would he want to be around hearing someone he hates getting praise? It makes Satan jealous. Another reason is that praising God can cause answers to come through. If you have been waiting on an answer for something in your life, whether it be physically, financially, or whatever the reason is, praise is good because it can help answers manifest through from God. It can help answers manifest from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. But what I want to make a point about is giving thanksgiving and praise to God because you love him. 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Giving thanks to God is our way of showing that we appreciate all the things he has done in our lives. Think about it. When someone does something for you, whether it be a relative, stranger, friend, it puts a smile on their face when you say thank you. If you are a parent and when you do something for your child and they come to you with a hug and a thank you, it makes you feel good, loved, and appreciated. Well, think about God. How do you think it makes him feel when we give thanks to him, whether it be in church or your own personal time? It doesn't have to be anything fancy because God is not after how fancy or elaborate someone can make their praises or thanksgiving. He is just after the heart, just after the beautiful words. For all of us in this world, if he did nothing else for us, we should remember he has already done so much just by sending his son Jesus to die for us. I have talked about in the past and having a conversation with God and just speaking with him, not asking him for anything, not complaining, but just having a conversation with him about anything that is on your mind. But if you find yourself not really having too much to say about things, but still want to talk to God, then that's when praise and thanks come in. We all have personal time during the day to give thanks and praise to God. I'm not talking about making it into a ritual, whereas if you don't give thanks at 1 p.m. every day, and you've been doing it every day for a while, and you miss it one day, and now you think you messed up or God is disappointed in you for not keeping it. No, giving thanks to God is not like some ritual if you mess up or forget. No one is perfect. I said this because some people do like to keep rituals, and they mess up on something, they act like it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
God is not someone to be taken as some ritual to check off a list, but he should be taken as a person with feelings. And he desires and loves the praises of his saints. That's Psalm 30, chapter 4, verse. In the world we live in, we hear a lot of negativity, people trying to defame God's character all the time, but just saying he does not exist. God does all these things for the just and the unjust. Just think about it. Put yourself in God's shoes. If you were God, you would love to hear thanks and praises, even if it's just a thank you, Father or Jesus, because you have to think about all the other things that God hears that we never hear other people say about him. And you know what? God still loves these people that talks about him and still wants them saved and in eternity with him, because he does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. It is a love beyond human love. Most of us, if we were in God's shoes, we would just want to get rid of the people and kill them off. But God says no. He wants everyone in eternity with him. And you know what? He is not even getting that, because there are already some sitting down in hell because they chose to reject him, and more going down there. So his will is for everyone to be with him in eternity, but it's just not going to happen. And it's not God's fault. It's the person's fault for rejecting Jesus. So we should always remember to give God some praises and thanks for the beautiful, wonderful things he has done for us, because he deserves it, and because we love him. When you love someone, you will make it known that you do. And one of the ways to show that to God is just saying, thanks God for everything. You are always worthy to be praised. In a world with this Antichrist going around in it, God needs to and desires to hear the praise and thanks from his children. Point number 5, love is correction. Proverbs 12, chapter 1, verse says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. We all make mistakes, and none of us is perfect. But what I am about to make a point about is this, is a dominant behavior, a bad lifestyle. Some of us don't like correction, but there is a godly correction that is biblical and right. There is a difference between someone just telling you what to do as a dictator and someone who loves you, who cares about you, only trying to tell you what is right to prevent you from going down a destructive path. Think about it. If you love your child, you will tell them what is right. For example, if your child was out there hanging out, selling drugs, and consuming illegal drugs, you will love your child enough, if you found out about it, to at least tell them they need to stop that lifestyle, because if they don't, it can kill them. Just like with that example, God feels the same way about us. If God sees a person he loves doing something that is wrong and destructive to their life, he will say something about it, whether it be through a person, scripture, or even, which isn't the norm, an audible voice or in-person meeting with Jesus. Proverbs 3, chapter 12, verse says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father does for the son whom he delights. The world thinks, oh, Christians just try to tell people what to do because they want to put their authority over us and they don't want us to have fun. It's my life and I should live it the way I want. I get one life and I want to live it to the best. Number one, we don't make the rules. God made the rules. God said, let him be true and every man a liar. That's Romans 3, chapter 4, verse. And God is holy. And he loves people so much that he don't want to see people's lives go down the drain. We have to remember that we were created for his pleasure. He created us, so he gets to make those rules. Some people say, well, I have been living this lifestyle my whole life, and it has not been causing destruction in my life. Well, it is causing destruction somewhere, and your actions not only affect you, but it is affecting someone else, too, that is watching what you do or say. For example, if a person is selling drugs but not using them, and they say that I'm not taking these drugs, so it's not affecting my life. I've been selling this for 15 years, and I have no interest in taking them, and it's an easy way to make a living. Okay, You might not be taking a drug, but think about the people you are selling them to and their life. But the person says, well, it's not my problem. It's not my life. I'm not responsible for them. Okay, you're right. It's not your life. And they have a responsibility for their own actions. But you are still playing a role in their destruction by participating and giving them a method to them getting it in the first place. So in God's eyes, you are still playing a role in it. Another example is, let's say you are out there doing porn movies all the time. The person says, I'm clean. I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I don't have any diseases. I didn't get pregnant by doing this, so what's the problem? It's just an easy way for me to make lots of money quickly. It's not harming anybody. It's my body. People do what they want to do. I'm not responsible for what people, person don't get any diseases. They don't get pregnant. But some young girl is watching you on TV thinking, oh, wow, everyone thinks I look good. I want to make a lot of money too quickly, and it's glamorous. I want to do this too. From her eyes, she is looking at how much fun this is. Let's say the girl goes ahead and gets involved in the industry, and she starts doing the movies too. But she eventually ends up with AIDS. The other lady says, who is still doing the porn herself, I'm not responsible for someone else's actions. That's her own fault for not protecting herself more. Okay, you are not directly responsible for someone else's actions, but still, what she does and what she portrays herself to be does play a role in God's eyes concerning someone else's life. 1 Samuel 2 chapter 3 verse says, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. I use these two examples, but there are plenty of others. So really in both examples, both of the people who help open a doorway for the other people are in the wrong too. And if they don't change their ways around from that lifestyle, can be held accountable for causing someone else to get involved in the same destructive lifestyle. And we are all called to care about other people and present the right attitude and lead the right lifestyle that reflects Jesus to others. God wants us to have this knowledge to make proper decisions concerning how to lead our life. We do have a free will to live our life any way we want, but he has made it very clear in his scriptures that it can lead to destruction, maybe not at first, but eventually. God doesn't want to correct us to have us look at our lives and say, this is just more ways to make my life miserable and not have any fun. God corrects us because he loves us and doesn't want to see anyone's life destroyed. God just loves people so much. Even if a person does not love him, he still wants to correct them and get them on the right track. Just like a father and mother loves a child and wants only what is best for them in the long run, God feels the same way about us. Point number 6, follow whom you love, which should be Jesus. Matthew 16, chapter 24, verse says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I am going to make some points about this scripture. Is it enough to just know that Jesus exists? Is it enough to just go to church on Sunday mornings and that's it? No, it's not enough to just know that Jesus exists and that he is real in our lives today. What Jesus wants is to not just only know he exists, but to know he exists and follow him as well. We have some of us in this world that knows of Jesus, have knowledge of his ways and character, but still not following him. To follow Jesus means to lose your life, which means that your life is not going by your rules anymore. It is going by what God wants from you. If God tells a person to drop their job just to follow him, then the person should drop their job. If God tells a person to move to another city, town to follow him, then the person should do it for God. Truly loving God is not only just knowing that he is real, but following his instructions for our life as well. Some people say, why would I have to give up everything in this life to just follow Jesus? Can't I keep the fame, popularity that I had before? And we have some Christians that ask these same questions. They believe in Jesus, but they don't want to give up anything for him. That's the problem right there. Seen from the world, love the world, and still say we know Jesus. 1 Timothy 6, chapter 10, verse says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I am not talking about it's something wrong with having money. It's nothing wrong with having money. Having money in your pocket, bank account, can prevent and solve a lot of problems in your life. It's the love of money and putting that before God is where the problem comes in at. You have people out here, including some Christians, that is not willing to give up anything or take a temporary setback financially for anything that God wants them to do. When Jesus says, "Follow me and let that go," any plan that a person could have had for their own life would not match the beautiful God has for their life. I mean, it wouldn't even come close. And it doesn't always manifest itself at first, which means a person might start to follow God, follow his leading in their life, and in their eyes they may not see all the benefits at first. It might seem difficult and hard at first, but if they keep following God, hanging on to him, they will see the benefits of it, and not just in their own life, but how God works through them to bless others too as well. Jesus wants people to not only hear what he's saying, but do what he is saying as well, not only just towards other people, but personally in our lives too. Some people say, "Well, I am not meant to be a minister. I'm not meant to be on television. I'm not meant to affect a whole bunch of lives. I'm too old for this now." Doesn't matter whether you are meant to be on television or how old you are, because God still wants you to follow his will for your life. Yes, his will for your life might not be as big as someone else's, but it still doesn't make it not important. You are very important to God, and the purpose for your life is very important to him too. Then you have others that say, "I'm afraid to give up this or that or what's going to happen." Well, what's going to happen is the best thing that could ever happen to you, which is God got a hold of you, and you're going to experience a life that you would never have experienced if he would not have gotten a hold of you. Truly following God, truly being in love with God, is for a person to deny themselves, to look at their life and say, "My plans can't even come close to the plans that God has for my life, because his wisdom is the best wisdom for my life. I might be temporarily inconvenienced. I might have to make some sacrifices sometimes, but I will see the result of everything I have been reaching for in this life. I will see the results of everything that God has planned in my heart, because I love God and he will never lead me wrong." My seventh point is getting rid of the fear bugs. One may ask, what does fear have to do with love? Everybody at some point in their life have experienced fear over something. Even if it's a temporary fear, it's like when you were a child, when you did something wrong, you didn't want your parents to find out, so you got scared. 1 John 4, chapter 18, verse says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Fear is not good, as it can put you in disbelief, and it is not good on your physical body if you are having that continuous emotion. God loves you, and the last thing he wants is fear about your problems. You have many people going around that is in fear about things that God never intended for the person to be worrying about in their life. In fact, God does not want you worried about anything. For example, think about a parent and a child. When a child wants something, let's say, for example, they want money for a school trip, do you think the parent wants the child fearing they can't get the money for their trip because they are lacking money? No. The parent is going to do everything in their power to make sure that child has the money for their trip because they love their child. The same way the parent loves their child and will make sure they are going on that school trip, the same way your Heavenly Father wants to make sure that your needs are met because he loves you. The parent tells the child, "All right, you will have the money in time for the deadline for your trip." The child believes their parent because they love and trust their parent. The same way God wants you to believe and trust him, says that he will do something, even when it looks like it's impossible. Matthew 7, chapter 9 through 11, verse says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? When we go into constant worry and fear, it's like saying back to God, I understand what your word says, but I really don't trust you to do what I'm hoping for you to do. In other words, I'm fearing because I haven't seen anything physically change yet, so maybe this whole thing is wrong. God is saying right there in Matthew that he is willing to do more for you, give more to you than your own earthly parents. The devil can try to put fear in your heart and have you look at the circumstances or the problems. God says, and to me about what my word says about your problems. God says, thank me that your problem is solved before you even see the result physically. God does not want you to wait until you see the manifestation of the answer. Trusting him truly is thanking him before you see any proof of the answer. And it's not only fear about current problems. Fear can also appear in other things too. You have some people that go around worrying about if they are going to live a long life and that other people have died young. But let me tell you something. You can't go around worrying why somebody else died young. There is always a reason, but that is not for you to worry about. Not being mean, it's just the truth. You have to be able to stand and believe for you and your family. Psalms 91:16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you are in fear that you will not live a long life, that's a great scripture to stand on and speak over yourself on a regular basis. Mix the scripture with faith and speak it. If you are in fear that you will spend your life alone and you will never have a husband or wife, children to share your life with, Psalms 128:3 and Ephesians 5:25-28 and 31 are great scriptures to stand on and speak in your life about that. There is a scripture for everything. Why should we fear about anything? If we truly love God and take his word as truth, then we won't let fear dominate us or let anybody or let Satan bring us into fear. Being in fear is not a good place to be for anyone. Being in fear can hinder you from hearing God's voice appropriately. He is trying to get answers to you, trying to talk to you, but your mind is too busy occupied with whatever the problem is. God wants us to be occupied with him always. Fear is just another distraction to take our mind off of God, another distraction to take our mind off of the deserved attention that God should be receiving from us. Satan loves to see God's children in fear because when that happens, God is not being trusted and believed like he wants to. So really we are pleasing Satan by being in fear. I know none of us is perfect and we all have experienced fear, but I encourage you, look at being in fear in a different light. See it from God's perspective, not just your own. He loves everyone, and the last thing he wants is his children to be in fear about their problems. Because he is our provider, that a person's attitude during the problem is more important to God than the problem they have. A person does not want to be a rebel and have a bitter attitude about things. And the reason why I mention this is because I've seen people that while they're having problems, they had while things were going on, they had a very bitter attitude while it was going on. They'll talk to God like he's a child. God is not a child, and he should not be talked to like that. He's our creator, our provider, and our father. So I mention that for a reason because I've seen people do it, and they'll come back to me and say something. Well, you know, they're hoping for God for this or believe in God for that, but then they'll tell me what they've been saying to God, and they wonder why they don't get an answer. So I just wanted to add that in there. That's all I have, Valencia.
Okay, thank you, woman of God, for that powerful word. Everyone knows this woman of God brings forth the word. She always brings a lot of scriptures and bring the meanings to it. So if you don't have all the scriptures and the meanings, please click the link. It's on Valencia Scott page or Bianca Starr's page or it's internally for ministries. Before we dismiss, woman of God, get them your website, please.
Okay, hold up. Let me look at it. It is Starr's. wick.com/teachings. And if anybody have any questions about what I just said on this message, you can always contact me on Facebook.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank this woman of God for bringing forth the word. Tonight we'll be having revival. It will be Saturday and Sunday on this revival. This revival, the theme for this revival is Wake Up, I Die for You. So this is part of Tunnel League Ministries prayer line as well. And that number is 1-302-202-1106. Again, that number is 1-302-202-1106. And the access code is 210-625. Again, the access code is 210-625. And I want to thank everyone that listened in on Tunnel League Ministries radio show. Again, thank you, woman of God, for that powerful word. And thank you, Brandon Turner and Mary Mills, for the opportunity to have a show, The Ties That Bind. And any comments, you can share it under the link or contact Bianca Stiers of Valencia Sky. And I pray that everyone have a blessed day. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we dismiss, Father God, I pray that this word touches everyone, Father God, that needed this word about love. I pray that they dissect what the woman of God said and use the scriptures in their daily lives, Father God, and continue to have your way in our lives, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye. God bless.
Goodbye. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless.